Are you ready? Good morning, everyone. I will call us to order for our regular Tuesday morning Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, April 16th. And if you would bear with me, I'd like to use prerogative of the chair to ask that everyone join the board in a moment of silence for the tragedy that occurred in Boston. Thank you. Thank you very much. With that, we'll move on. If everyone would please stand and join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you and good morning. The first item on our agenda is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on anything on today's agenda that they would like to bring to the board's attention. Is there anyone who would like to do so? Seeing no one moving immediately, the microphone will move on. We're going to hold consideration of the April 9th minutes to next week. We do have one personnel action item.
Move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Personnel action passes. Consent agenda. We have an added road closure, 1352 and 1353. We have utility permits, 1352 and 1353. And I would like to ask that we pull from item number one, the consideration for Colo, and on item number two, the consideration for Story City.
Okay, move approval of the consent agenda with noted changes.
Second.
Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes with noted changes. That leads us to item number one, consideration of the 28E agreement between Story County and the City of Colo. Simple clerical thing, just a contract came to me without a date on it. Under advice of counsel, we're going to send it back, or I'm recommending that we send it back over to get it completely filled out before we act on it. No action needed there. Just send it back. Same deal with item number two, the dispatch agreement with Story City. It's just missing a date, so those will come back to us in a future agenda.
Okay.
That disposes of consent agenda items and leads us to public hearing item. Third and final consideration of Ordinance 221, rezoning certain lands located in Section 23 of Franklin Township. Charlie, how are you doing this morning?
Excellent. How are you? Nothing to update from last consideration. No further public comment that we've received. We did get the conditional rezoning agreement signed by the property owners, and if this is approved on third consideration, that'll be available for the board to sign. From there, if it is approved, we'll send it out for publication, and the rezoning should be official in about 10 days.
Questions for Charlie?
I'll move approval.
I need to go to the public hearing first. All right, so if there's no questions for Charlie, I will open the public hearing and ask if there is anyone who would like to speak to the board on Ordinance 221. Seeing no one moving to the microphone, I'll close the public hearing, turn to the board for consideration.
Now I'll move approval of Ordinance 221.
Very good.
A second.
I have a motion and a second. Further discussion? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Ordinance 221 passes on third and final consideration. Moving to additional items, consideration and discussion of our 2013-14 insurance renewal and wellness program with Iowa State Association of Counties and Wellmark. And Amanda and Alyssa, are you going to address us at all on this or just Amanda? Amanda, welcome.
We're not sure that Amanda can handle us all alone. She's so used to needing support.
Anybody else? Good morning, everybody.
Hi there.
Morning.
You are my 24th county. You are the last ones this year that I'm meeting with. So
the last.
That's right, exactly. So this morning, Alyssa had asked me just to kind of quickly share the health insurance renewal information. I know you have a busy schedule. refer you to, on the right side of your folder, the fiscal year 2012 Story County Health Insurance Report. This is that report that we see every year from ISAC. They go through all the financials. So, again, we'll kind of overview this because I know you guys are all old pros with these numbers. If we go to page 2 of the report, what this is going to show is for the overall groups of the 24 counties that participate in the Iowa State Association of Counties Health Insurance Program, where the expense and revenue items fell for this year. If you look at the top of the sheet, you'll see the history from 2006 to 2012. So I'll point your attention over to the right to 2012. That's going to be our health insurance year of July 1st, 2012 through June 30th of 2013. And what during that time frame, excuse me, it's July 1st, 2011 through June 30th of 2012. During that time frame, you'll see that we started with a fund balance of $22.2 million. Again, that's that amount that we hold during the 30 years the ISAC program's been in existence for health insurance reasons. We use that to pay the wellness funds out of. There's also some Affordable Care Act fees that we'll be paying those out of, which is why I point that out to your attention. Again, look down the revenue and the expense items. You can see at the bottom of the page. If you have any questions for me, definitely let me know. At the bottom of the page, you can see for this year, our program ran at 102.5%, so we did run at a little bit of a loss at $608,432.34. I know if Bill Peterson from ISAC was here, he would say that definitely plus or minus 2% is well within the range of where we intend the program to run within a given year. A couple of positive things to note just in this report is that our individuals that went over $100,000 in claims went down significantly. In the revenue section of the report, you'll see the stop-loss credits went down significantly. Last year we had $2.2 million in stop-loss credits. This year we have $1.1 million. Again, that's a direct correlation of individuals over that 100,000 mark, so our reimbursements have gone down quite a bit, which is a positive thing. We can't directly tie that to the wellness initiatives, but we can certainly say that's a step in the in the right direction. Our stop-loss premiums, as you see down in the expense section, are a function of those claims. So certainly we like to keep those claims down in order to keep those premiums moderated. The rest of the report, if the board doesn't have any questions for the overall financial numbers for the program, goes into county-specific utilization. So page 3 shows for all counties that are in the program this year's expenses and premiums that were paid in. Story County, of course, you're about fifth from the bottom. If you kind of move your eyes to the right side of the page, you'll notice that we did have a pretty good year. Our expense-to-premium ratio was 83%. So this year, Story County paid about $427,574 in premiums, and the expenses this year were $356,772. So that's, again, where that 83% comes in. Your premiums are a direct tie to your claims in that ratio, so a positive sign this year that we were able to bring that down, and it's obviously going to lead us to good numbers as we review the health insurance renewal increase. That said, I will skip a page to page 5, the fiscal year 2014 benefit plan options. These are the same that have been in place historically. Story County currently offers Plan 9, Plan 10, Plan 11, and Plan 13. There is one new option, Plan 11B, in the middle of the page. There's a little bit of premium savings if you would choose to go to the new pharmacy program. And really what this means for Story County, if you chose to use that option, is that the health insurance deductibles and everything would be the same as Plan 11, but the prescription drug card and what employees paid when they went to the pharmacy is a little bit different. So at the bottom of the page, you can see the drug copayments, the BlueRx drug copayments on all the other plans are $10 for generic, $20 for name brand, $45 for non-formulary. On this new program, program. It's $10 for generic, 20% to $40 name brand, 30% to $50 for non-formulary. There are also some drugs on that most expensive tier that would be excluded from coverage, and this is kind of a new program that we're introducing in order to help curb the cost of insurance going forward. These are drugs that have other generic and other options available. So, again, that's available for the board's consideration this year and certainly will be available to answer questions if Alyssa has them as you review what plans you're going to offer in 2013.
These are employee offerings only, right?
Correct.
So when we think about drug discount cards and then we think about the NACO prescription drug cards, that's a totally separate entity
Correct.
In itself.
Correct.
This
sure.
All right. Great.
Yep.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Page 6 kind of gets into where the rubber hits the road on the numbers this year. And like I mentioned before, our numbers have gotten certainly improved. Gotten better, which is part of the reason why we have such a great renewal increase this year. This page 6, shows the individual county utilization history for Story County since you've been in the program since 1999. As you're familiar and as ISAC's done for a number of years, they use the five-year average. So this year when we look at 2008 through 2012 numbers, our average is 1.07, so 107% premium to claims and expense ratio is where we came out for this year's five-year average. In the past, our ratio has been quite a bit higher. As you can see, in 2007, we had 151% ratio, so we dropped that higher ratio off, which with this year's positive experience as well kind of led us to our overall positive number this year of 107% compared to what we've seen historically. If you go ahead and flip to page 8, I'll remind everybody of how those rates are calculated, those premium rates. So for your Plan 9, Plan 10, Plan 11, and Plan 13, each year, again, ISAC looks at that five-year average to determine where you fall in terms of your premiums. Within the program, you can get up to a 10% penalty, pay 10% above the average, or up to a 15% discount. And historically, Story County has actually paid that 10% penalty. You've been in that level 2 penalty category, which means if you look at the bottom of the page with the discount level utilization key, that your five-year loss ratio is greater than 120%. So, again, with dropping off that 2007 year and adding the 2012 positive numbers, we did get to actually that base rate. So we jumped 2 levels. That was definitely a good thing for us and went from the level 2 penalty to the base rate, which is a 10% differential. We'll go ahead and skip all the way to the end of page 10, and what that's going to do is show you where your premium rates are for this year. So for Story County, about 3/4 of the way down the page for plans 9, 10, 11, 13, what this page shows is last year we had the 10% penalty, as I mentioned. So our rates for the different programs are shown there depending on which plan design you're looking at. And as we look to the right of the page, you'll see that this year, because we went from that 10% penalty to not having any kind of penalty, that we're actually looking at a decrease to our rates. So very positive news for Story County this year. The average base rate increase for the program was 5.59%. So, again, with the additional 5% reduction, we're looking at 10%, but that mitigates that and actually gets us down to a 5% decrease. The other good news is I know Alyssa was down a few weeks ago for the wellness summit that we had in Des Moines. You do have still the ability to earn some additional wellness premiums off of your rates, and that does not, that 5% discount about to all those premiums doesn't include any of those wellness discounts. So positive news.
This may be not the right question to ask at this point, but as you look at the comparison to other counties and the discount ratio, do you ever factor in the actual total number of employees, the size of the county, and factor that in terms of whether on a comparison scale to a county with far less employees, we could say that we are making good progress, or is this an area that we still need to focus a lot more on in terms of wellness and other types of programs?
I think with a county, with your size of enrollment, we didn't go through some of the details, but the average contracts you covered during the year was 55. The smaller you are, the more you can see jumps year to year in your premiums and claims because you're not at that level to where we would see a constant. Part of the benefit is being in the program is that you've got a bigger group that year to year, you can kind of mitigate some of that. But I would say, regardless of being big or small, as a small entity, certainly those wellness initiatives could help because you could have one person in a given year out of those 55 contracts that could certainly sway.
So we could probably do something like the Hispanic culture and take off for maybe an hour and a half during the middle of the day and stagger that so that we could all go out and walk down to the park and do some of these wellness type activities and then increase our day instead of going from like 8 to 5, we might extend that till 8 to 6 or something like that. Sure. You know, if we could get a buy-in from the unions and, you know, but you got to look, become more creative if you're really talking about creating a healthy work environment. And part of that is how can you build in something in a culture that allows employees some time away, you know, other than their normal lunchtime, to just go out and walk and exercise and still come back in and complete their work schedule. Is anyone out there ever thinking outside the box and coming up with programs like that, particularly in a public sector environment?
Yeah, one of the projects this year with the Wellness Committee that we shared a couple weeks ago was creating a walking path. And so that's something I know there's resources that were given that was charged to each of the Wellness Committees was to use some of that free software online to be able to put something together to post within the courthouse so that people were aware of where they could, you know, basically map a walk area that's a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, that type of thing. So that's actually all ISAC counties have been charged with that this year to do that. And also create some other policies around wellness. So that's obviously something that we're actually tackling this year. So good feedback, sure. Yep. Any other questions in regards to the health insurance renewal?
Question on where we'd like to be in terms of reserve. Right now it looks like you're running about 90% mm-hmm. reserve, but you project it going down into the mid-50s. Where are you comfortable with your reserve?
That's probably more of a question for ISAC's auditors. They look at this every year. There's somebody that does take a look, an actuary, and certify the plan. That 50% mark is kind of a worst-case scenario as you're looking at their budgeting. That would be 2 years of kind of being at that high end of where Wellmark would kick in on our reinsurance. So I don't think the plan is to get to that level. I think from a public body standpoint, that 90% is a really nice cushion area. One other thing I wanted to talk to you about today was with the Affordable Care Act going, a lot of changes going into place in 2014. One of the things that we're going to be responsible for, Story County, all the other counties, and all employers, is some fees that will come into play. Those fees are huge for employers, and one of the things that we're going to be able to use those reserves for in the first year in 2014 is those fees. So, again, that reserve's nice because in those cases where we don't plan for those things, they kind of come at us from left field. We can certainly use those to pay for it. And in addition to that, the wellness is again, like I mentioned, something that we pay for out of those reserves. So I don't think the plan is to get down to 50%, but it wouldn't necessarily be a catastrophe at that point. They'd have to determine how they were going to raise that amount. So,
good. Thank you very much. Okay. Other questions for Amanda?
No.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next item is...
Oh, sorry.
Oh, she does. Okay.
Say that again. I do. Did you?
There's something for us to consider.
You just need to accept the renewal.
To accept the insurance renewal and wellness program report.
Second. That was your motion?
Yeah.
Make a motion? Yeah.
Yeah.
Second. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Discussion. I know I've been really pleased with our relationship with them. Okay. Hearing none. Clinton?
Aye.
Foot? Aye. Sanders? Aye. Renewed. Next item, consideration of a new fire watch policy for community life program. Ron?
Yeah. I do. Morning. I became aware that the fire marshal requires us to have a procedure for when our equipment could go down or malfunction for more than 4 hours at a time for our RCFs. So I worked with the fire marshal and Cal Pearson to put this policy together, and I just need approval if there aren't any questions.
Having looked at it, I didn't see anything. I think this is, again, something that is standard whenever the fire marshals come out and notice, you know, something that is either lacking or needing to be able to document and so
right.
forth. Okay? So.
Yeah, I mean, basically it looks to me like if we get in a situation where our fire alarm system is not operational, you're just going to assign staff to get out there and monitor 24?
Right. Staff is already there, so they just need to walk around every 15 minutes and make sure that there's not a fire in the building. So,
other question for Ron?
It's pretty simple. I'll move approval of the policy.
Second.
A motion and second. Further conversation? Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Ron, thanks.
Thanks.
Moving on. Consideration to set a Thursday, June 20th permit deadline for firework display. That would be held between June 26th and July 9th, and consideration to have a claims-only agenda for the July 2nd meeting. Auditor Lucy Martin.
Full credit goes to Shelley for this, who asked for a vacation.
Oh, shit.
On 4th of July week. That will be a lightly staffed week, probably in most departments across the nation. We do have to approve claims that week, so... these are two related items. When we looked at only approving claims on July 2nd, then we thought about what about people that want to display fireworks. The holiday is on the Thursday of that week. So I looked at the calendar. You're free to correct these dates or extend them. Shelley's idea is that we send a letter, or notice, and a permit application to all of the people that regularly display fireworks around that time. That we use, put a press release out and have that prominently displayed on the website because there are always people that come out of the woodwork to do that as well, new people.
And this wouldn't preclude, if you just put these dates in, what if someone comes in and wants to have that extended? Do we handle that on a case-by-case basis?
Only approving claims on July 2nd, then you can approve fireworks permits, which is why these are tied together. So... if it's outside this time period, it's not an issue. You know, we I think had a permit last week for a fireworks display in June.
Mm-hmm.
Many of our communities have celebrations throughout the summer and have permits approved.
Yeah, the reason that question comes up is I recall several years ago we had a long-standing display that was always ongoing, and there was a change with like clerks or people and staff, and so they missed the deadline, and we convened a special meeting in that case to approve one. It was highly unusual that we would do that, but depending upon circumstances, would that option always be there? Obviously, we would seek legal counsel advice as to whether or not it would merit that exception.
Well, you're the board. You can choose to meet or not.
Normally, we would not unless it's...
And I don't think we need action today. You're welcome to go look at your calendars and decide if this is a good idea or not.
Well, I think the idea is great. I mean, certainly we've done the claims-only option in more than one occasion. The only question that comes in mind is, I like the idea that Shelley has talked about sending these notices out to individuals. The question that comes in place is if we approve that to date and then we determine that there was some issues based on feedback, we could always amend prior to. Right. So
you don't have to decide today. You could decide to do consent agenda and claims only, personnel actions and claims only. I just know we have to meet for claims for that week so we can pay our vendors. Just something to consider.
Okay, well, I don't know how these other two feel about this, but I think the concept here would be by taking action, this would allow Shelley to go ahead and send the notifications out, and I think it would be the timing of it would be very appropriate because it gives people plenty of good time to get in and make sure they have the necessary permits and so forth. So,
are you making a motion?
I would move that we consider the options that are laid out in here for Thursday, June 20th, permit deadline for display between June 26th and July 9th, and to consider claims only agenda for July 2nd.
Second. Motion and a second to set a June 20th deadline for the fireworks display from June 26th and July 9th, and a motion to have a claims-only agenda for July 2nd. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Toot?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Passes.
Since I have your attention, can I bring up a few more calendar items? No action, just something to put on your calendars. I'm giving a presentation to the statewide election administrators training tomorrow about the canvas, so I have canvas on the mind. You acting as the board of canvassers have two canvasses coming up this fall, the school canvas, and these dates are set by code. The school canvas is Friday, September 13th, and the city runoff canvas, which is for the city of Ames only and Story County, is Friday, November 8th. All other cities, the canvas is Wednesday, November 13th. Usually this is on a Tuesday, but because of the Veterans Day holiday on Monday, it's moved to Wednesday. I bring this up because the ISAC Fall School is scheduled for November 13th to 15th. So we do need a majority of supervisors to canvass the results of the election.
Paul, you and I may just have to stay home from the fall school.
We've also had a call-in.
We have had a call in because
but two Fridays, yeah, and a Wednesday of ISAC, I thought I should bring it to your attention sooner rather than later.
So. We would in the past when we've had that call in, at least one supervisor was available, and then the other two, if they were at a meeting, had to call in. But we had to follow all the normal posting procedures and processes. I think, this gives us time to...
Just knowing the way we work, we'll find a way to make it work. So thanks for the update. Anything else for Lucy? Lucy, thanks. Consideration of rental agreement comes back to us this week from Leanne.
Looks like you've had a lawyer get a hold of this
last
time I saw it.
It was simple.
Yeah, Jessica added some more paragraphs. Just simply was remanded last week so Jessica could take a look at it, and what you have in front of you is her amended copy version. Yeah, it is. I'll talk into it.
Okay.
Questions for either Leanne or Jessica? Jessica, we appreciate you taking a look at this and getting this set up right.
Good to me. I'll move approval.
Second.
Motion is second. Further discussion. Toot.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. We now have a new equipment rental policy and agreement. Next item, consideration of Resolution 1361, approving the final residential parcel subdivision plat of the Lundy subdivision. Charlie?
What you have in front of you is a proposed residential parcel subdivision. It's a little bit unique in the sense that, the residential parcel subdivision was created to allow a new residential lot where there was one already existing. In this particular situation, we already have two existing residential lots out there, so there's not going to be any further residential lots through the process. But more or less what's happening here is you have an estate that's being split up among beneficiaries, and they've obviously got an agreement for the amount of land that's going to be transferred through here. So, again, you've got the two lots with existing residences on them already, and then the two outlots, which through the Land Development Regulations outlets are not allowed to be built upon unless it's done through an agricultural exemption of some sort. So with that, the only thing we really wanted to point out, and this is a comment from the auditor's office through interagency review, was just that the parcels E and G on the plat, they were shown under ownership of the Don D. Lundy Family Trust, and it appears that there's been some deed transfers in the past that that trust is no longer on the official deed. So we'll work with the surveyor and just making sure that those names get changed, and once those names are changed, then we'll release the resolution. So I don't know if there's any questions. I know a few of the property owners involved here are present, and I don't know if you want to ask them any questions, but...
Questions for Charlie first. Anything?
Pretty straightforward.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody have questions for any of the property owners? Any of the property owners wish to address us on anything? Okay. What's your pleasure?
Move resolution 1361 approving the foul residential partial subdivision for the Lundy subdivision as listed.
Second. Further discussion? Clinton?
Aye.
Suit?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Resolution 1361 passes.
Okay.
And thank you for being here. Those of you who are here for this, and we'd love for you to stay, but don't feel like you have to. Next item is consideration to reflect an agreement for county public purposes in the tax assessment for the parcel in which an easement has been granted. We didn't dispose of this matter when we had Mr. Chitty here, did we?
No,
he did not. Well, good morning. Thanks.
Morning.
Yes, this is in reference to the easement that you guys authorized us to enter into last week. That easement or ownership of that portion of land was necessary for us to move forward with our permitting for the new lake at Dakins. In my negotiation with that landowner, we had a good faith, came to a good faith agreement pending approval from this board that easement would be granted from the landowner, and in exchange for that, that the property that property for the easement not be, the landowner not be assessed taxes on that parcel, or on that portion of that parcel. As you know, it's about 2 acres. It's wasteland. It has according to our assessor, it's wasteland. Of course, me as conservation would tend to argue that. But at any rate, it's a draw, and it has a taxable value right now of about $15 a year. So our agreement would be that that the landowner not pay that portion of the tax in exchange for granting us the easement.
And so that we're clear, Mike is here today asking the board to approve, he actually has a letter here for us, to Mr. and Mrs. Chitty. Thank you for your assistance with our Dakins Lake expansion project. Your grant of the easement to temporarily impound water on your property enables the project. This letter shall serve as an agreement that the county will not assess tax on the easement area. That's the $15 that Mike's referring to. This area will be assigned no taxable value, and you will be receiving an amended 2013 real estate assessment roll for this parcel. You will realize this amendment starting with a tax payment due in fall of 2014. In the meantime, the county will pay you for the taxes due on the easement area. Thank you for your support of this project, Story County Board of Supervisors.
I think we can handle the $15.
Yeah.
So I'm going to move approval of the agreement.
And I will second it.
Further discussion?
When you go back and think about where we were a few months ago when we were talking about what it might take to acquire this land, this is a tremendous opportunity. And as you indicated last year, Mr. Chair, how much we value and appreciate the Chitty stepping up and working with conservation and allowing this project to move forward, because without it, it certainly would have been a tremendous setback. So I think this is a win-win for everybody, and again, reflects a mutual cooperation between the landowner and the county and conservation. So Certainly want to thank you again, Mike, on behalf of the Conservation Board and the citizens of Story County in that area, that is really going to receive tremendous benefit for the improvement in Dakins Lake area.
Well said. We have a motion and a second. Mike, I just want to make sure, I think I saw that Wayne Schrickerath, our county assessor, is included in all this, but ultimately, since this action is having him take an action, I want to make sure that he's fully included.
Correct.
In everything we do. Yes. Further discussion? Any other questions?
Easement worked out now. Can you straighten out the weather so you can get some work started?
Perfect.
Okay. That's next on your list.
Toot.
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Mike, thanks for your work, and thank you again to the Chitties.
All right.
Okay. All right, that leads us to agency reports and our friend Tara from Legal Aid, whose husband told me to give her a hard time today.
We can certainly do that.
This is the danger of having a politically active spouse. Yeah, I run into problems with that all the time. Well, good morning, and thank you so much for the chance to be here. I am glad to say that I know all of you, and I know all of you know the work that we do very well, but I'll give you some updates on what's been going on in the past year. The most obvious one, of course, is that I'm not Jay Kamath. And so
I was getting ready to comment about that. I was wondering about my eyesight.
Yeah, I know. You don't need to change your glasses. As I'm sure you have heard at this point, Jay left our office due to a family health issue back in the end of September last year, and our board of directors asked me to step in and succeed him as executive director, and so I've been in that position.
I had not heard that.
Hadn't you?
Really? Well, usually they would run that by me beforehand.
Nobody called you.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you very much. So I've been in that position now for 6 months, and it's been kind of a wild ride. At the same time we had Jay leave, we also became aware that our longtime office manager, Bev Ross, was going to be leaving at the end of December. And so we had a pretty significant staff change in our office. We were fortunate, though, that we kept, obviously, the two attorneys, Karen and myself, who had been there for over 4 years each. So we were able to triage Jay's cases and get those reassigned to the two of us, and then we were also able to kind of just keep, I think we just kind of kept fingers and holes in the dam for a while there at the end of the fall. But we were able to manage to continue to accept any sort of time-sensitive cases that came our way. We put a hold on our waiting list for a couple of months while we were dealing with that staff transition, and then we got things up and running in January with the addition of a new staff attorney in our office, Aaron Schneider. Aaron is a 2012 Drake Law grad and is just a rock star. She was selected by the Des Moines Business Record as one of their 40 under 40 last year. She has extensive experience in nonprofits already. Prior to law school, she had already created and run her own nonprofit literacy organization. She's served as an advisor to various nonprofit agencies as well. So she's just been a fantastic addition to our staff. And then we also added a new office manager, Melissa Murray, in January as well. So Supervisor Sanders mentioned my husband, who was told by me to just kind of keep, you know, just hold tight until the end of March. Things would be okay by the end of the March, and I'm really glad to report that they are. Things are going fantastically well in the office at this point. We are fully staffed. We're getting our caseload back up to our usual level. One big change that I'll just mention is that in December, we decided to adopt a new case management system in our office. It's an online case management system that's approved by the Iowa State Bar Association. It's called Clio, and it allows us to do our time tracking a little bit more precisely and a little bit more efficiently than we have done in the past, and that's been a fantastic thing for us. All three attorneys are using it. Any of our volunteers are also using it, and so all of our time tracking is done through that program as well as our calendaring. It gives us a whole bunch of neat functionality that's all designed for how law offices run, so we've been very happy with that. And from that, we've also been able then to automate or semi-automate anyway our claims process. And so that process used to take a fair amount of time with the retyping of information before we could get those claim forms put together, and now it's a few keystrokes to get those going. So that's been a really great change in our office, and credit for that goes to our new office manager, Melissa, who has just been spectacular. As of late March, we had about 190 cases open. That's a little lower than our typical caseload, but one of the things that I'm trying to make sure that we do in my new role as director is close cases as soon as we can, reasonably, you know, after the cases have been completed. And that's an important thing for a number of reasons, not least of which is that we don't want to become any clients' longtime attorneys on retainer. I think it's really important for us to require that clients who come to our office requalify for services if they need additional services, because we, of course, do have these income and residency guidelines. We're an attractive option for a lot of people, and we want to make sure that people are using us as their attorneys only when they qualify to have us be their attorneys. And so we're wrapping up cases more quickly, closing them up, and then requiring that clients requalify if they wish to have us provide additional legal services. We kind of take natural breaks in cases. If somebody files a divorce case, for example, we don't keep the case open for months and months to let them kind of build up steam for a modification action or something like that. We're requiring that they requalify. So that's been great, and I think I would expect that we're going to be seeing somewhere in the neighborhood of about 240 open cases at any given time, but still the same number of cases opened and closed in any calendar or in any fiscal year period. It's just going to be that we'll have fewer open time, you know, at a time. And I think that's good for our attorneys as well. It's fewer cases to try and keep in the hopper and try and remember. So that's good for us. We made our presentation to the asset funders in early January. We were very pleased to learn that our asset funding allocation for next year would be $179,827. Story County's portion of that is somewhere in the neighborhood of $79,000.
How does that compare to what it traditionally has been?
It's pretty close to what it has been. We requested slightly more in this past year, and I was actually not involved in the preparation of that request, but then I was involved in asking, you know, making the ask at the hearing. We requested slightly more, I think 8% more than we had in previous years, and we were funded at 96% of that. That request, that additional request, was of course due to the cessation of mental health funding, and now we're, of course, informed that some of that may be coming back our way, at least for a couple of month period at the end of this fiscal year, and so we'll be making those adjustments. We expect, I asked our office manager to just give me an idea of kind of how we're drawing down those funds, and we were expecting that we would have drawn down pretty much everything. We're having a hard time for some reason getting GSB eligible clients in the office. So if anybody knows any ISU students who need some legal services, send them our way. But we expected that we would have drawn everything down by mid-May, so it'll probably be that six-week or so period that we'll be doing those mental health claims and kind of balancing things out to make sure everything matches at the end of the year. United Way of Story County, of course, stepped in with a $25,000 grant for us to kind of just keep us balanced through this year, and we're actually in, I think, reasonably good financial shape right now. We've done a lot of cost-cutting in the office. We jointly have decided to, for example, give up our subscription to LexisNexis, the legal research service, instead using free online services that are available through the Iowa State Bar Association. We stopped ordering hard copies of the code, and we're doing those online. So wherever we've been able to trim costs, we've been doing that in order to just make ourselves a little more streamlined. The other thing that I'm really pleased to report is that we've made some physical changes in the office that I think make the office appear more professional. And, you know, one of the battles that we constantly fight is having, well, I think we've got a great reputation in the legal community and among our colleagues throughout central Iowa, really, in the legal system. I think sometimes our clients worry that they may be getting less than spectacular legal services because we're not, you know, we're free lawyers. And so it's been important to me, and I'm going to continue to work on increasing the appearance of professionalism in the office. I think that's really central to the work that we're doing. I think having clients who feel confident that they're getting the good legal services that we know they are is something that's really important. So we've been working on that as well. We're going to be celebrating our 40th anniversary next year, so that's the other good news coming out of our office. But we're in a really good place. I think financially we're doing okay. You know, everything's kind of clicking along as nicely as it could, and once I got to the end of March, I think my head was above water, and I think our staff was up and going pretty well too. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that any of you have.
Not so much as a question, but more of a comment. And, Mr. Chair, I'd like to maybe use this as a time to again reflect on the cooperation and partnership in the asset process. As you recall, with budget restraints and so forth last year, with having to make some tough decisions to reduce funding in some areas, United Way stepped up to the plate to assist Legal Aid and several others. And so, you know, I think the public, this is another example of when we have that annual campaign and there's such generous giving to support United Way, this is, again, an agency that fills the gaps and steps up to meet the needs that are so important to provide service in our community. Each year at our annual kickoff, Tara, I would suggest that you maybe reach out to the United Way group. You would, your agency would be a good testimony to bring to rest of the folks there to talk about again, because they're always looking at examples of things that have happened. And I think this would be kudos to not only your agency and the service you provide, but also for United Way stepping up and making sure that this service continued to be productive and viable in our community. So I want to congratulate you, Anjay, and your past group for your efforts as well, but also to put kudos to United Way for helping us too.
They absolutely deserve fantastic credit, and they are a great partner to us. But yes, we, you know, anything that we can do to help them, we're certainly happy to do.
Well, and just to piggyback on what Wayne just said, it's one of the reasons that the asset process, I'm such a fan of the asset process, is there's the ability there when we all come together to work together to identify the needs of the community, that when one funder has an issue and can't step up as they would like to step up, there's the opportunity for another funder to step in, and thank goodness for United Way in this case this year. And hopefully this is not a problem that the county is going to have in the future if we can get the reliable state funding that we count on to do this. I'll just say a big thank you to Tara and all of Legal Aid. The service that you provide here in Story County is essential, and we really appreciate the work you do. I do have a question about office space. I love that you're a neighbor of ours right across the street, but I find myself wondering, the clientele that you deal with, I would assume, would be primarily coming out of Ames. Do you ever run into problems with your clients getting over here to meet with you?
We do frequently. We do frequently run into problems with that. I would say that over 50% of our clients do come from Ames or right close to Ames. And so that is an ongoing issue. I had a client that I was trying to set an appointment with just yesterday, and she said, you know, I don't have transportation. It's going to take me a little while to work something out. So that's an ongoing challenge, and that's something that we do talk about. Obviously, the reason for our location here originally back, 20-some years ago was because this building is right here, and this was so easily accessible and convenient. And even with the construction of the new Justice Center, it made sense to have us here. Now that we do all of our document filing, our legal document filing online, we are we're really over in court far less, and so it's not as essential to be located where the courthouse is. And certainly we've had discussions among our board about the possibility of moving our office to Ames. We've got a pretty sweet deal on rent, and so that's always going to be a consideration. But one of the other things that I can report too about our space needs, while we have, I think all three of you have been to our office and so are familiar with the space, we do have some storage space down in our basement, and we were so lucky about 3 weeks ago we had a couple of students, four students, come over from the University of Iowa Law School, and as a service project they helped us rebox and consolidate all of our files in the basement. We went from over 100 file boxes down there full of old client files down to about 65, and so our space needs just shrunk a little bit. Not a lot, but a little. So yeah, that is an ongoing issue for us in terms of just being in a space that is accessible to our clients. One of the other issues and kind of a constant source of problems for us as well is that we are located up a few stairs, and that's something that we run into problems with when we have clients who have mobility issues. We have a doorbell set up so that if somebody is limited in terms of their ability to get up those stairs, we can send someone out to talk with them, but then we don't have any private meeting space. So that is a challenge.
You may also check with HRDA, since they do transport from Ames to Nevada. However, they are starting to try to set up a, rather than being always an on-call, because it's outside the city of Ames, to have certain hours of the day that they will run shuttles back and forth. It's becoming very cost prohibitive to just be able to take clients on a on-call basis, you know, all around the county. So if you have clients that need to be transported over here and they could work through certain hours when the buses are traveling, this would be a good way to and a very cost-effective way to utilize some of the transportation needs.
And they've been a fantastic partner with us in the past, and certainly, yeah, if they create some sort of reliable kind of, you know, daily service or whatever, we can set up our appointments to match up with
that. Right, right. Okay.
Very good.
Let me know if we can help in that area.
Other questions, comments?
Mm-hmm.
I'd add one thing, I'm sorry, if I
sure.
could, it just came to mind. One of the other issues that we've been discussing in our office and we've been discussing with our board is the concern about safety in our own office. I know obviously there was an incident at the courthouse that is very concerning, but we've also discussed concerns about safety in our own office because we do have clients who come in kind of an emotional state some of the time, and we have had incidents where we've needed to call the police. And so we have one of our board members is Mary Howell Cerna, who, of course, has just left the county attorney's office to join the Iowa State Police Department. She is coordinating a visit for us by someone who's going to kind of give us a site survey and give us some safety planning and some emergency preparedness so that we have something in place that's a little bit more comprehensive than just, hey, call 911 that we do now. So
well, the ALICE training that the sheriff's office provides would be another area that you could tap into.
Yeah, so those are just things that we're thinking about as we move forward. Obviously, we want to make sure that our staff always feel safe. And
sure.
Given our facility over there, there are a few little dead ends in that space that we want to make sure we're...
Okay.
Well, thank you again.
Thank you.
Great. I think it's important to note that this is a vital part of what we do here in Story County, and I'm sure that I speak for both of you when I say we're going to continue to do everything we can to support legal aid.
Thank you. We're very grateful for that.
Thank you.
Departmental reports. I think Sue is not coming over today. Paul's the liaison. Anything worth reporting on animal control?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, liaison assignments and committee meeting updates. Wayne, anything?
Yesterday I met with Ron Christensen during our annual every other month meeting, and just basically discussion centered around some hiring needs that will be coming up due to retirements near the end of this fiscal year, and I suggested again that he work with Alyssa, HR, and bring so that as she and he work out something, he could be brought to our attention regarding the process. As you know, several of the staff, they have downsized quite a bit. He is a little concerned about the potential stress that is being created with the additional workload, but feel that we as a board have been willing to certainly assist where they have determined that there are some definite needs that need to be filled. He also reported on the tremendous rapport with Arlie Ball and their efforts to work with him. He said that they will be bringing forth a final report that he will be sharing with us at a later date, but he was very pleased with that. He said there is a software out there that will aid us in cost reporting that at some point he'd like to bring that to our attention, and this is a recommendation from Arlie Ball that we take a look at this software that would lessen the workload of his staff as well. So all in all, it was real good. Cal, he had been talking to Cal about rubber roof needs, somewhere in the neighborhood of about $2,500 that we'll be hearing about a little bit later as we go on. So all in all, it was just a very good a meeting. And we'll continue to have discussions regarding contract and staffing needs and other services as we move forward. And we just talked about the regionalization and the potential changes that could take place and how we're looking at a broad array of options depending upon how the state funding will be in the future. And he and Deb are having a very close relationship, and he will continue to keep the board fully addressed as we move forward with regionalization and how it might impact the way we deliver services currently right now.
Good. Yeah, Wayne, I appreciate that. I think it, you know, really a timely update for us as we sit here and talk to Tara and the impact that transition and the way the state funds mental health impacted legal aid. I think it's important to note that there is no entity that was more greatly affected by that change in the way the state does some things with mental health funding than CLP. And the work of Gayla before she left us, and now the work of Ron and his staff has just been phenomenal. And you know, if you guys recall, our initial goal was, yeah, we've got to make some cuts in CLP, but we want to make the cuts that are never felt by the client. And so while Ron's, I think, completely right to point out that we've got a huge caseload and lots of stress on some of our employees, that was our goal going into it, was recognizing that we're going to have to make some adjustments, and we didn't want our clients to feel it. And I don't know if Ron's still here or he left, but he's done an outstanding job in the transition from Gayla, and we appreciate his work. Paul, anything?
Headed to the Maxwell City Council meeting, so I'll fill you in next week.
Outstanding. I just came this morning. There was a meeting, a joint meeting of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau, Ames Chamber of Commerce, and the Ames Economic Development Commission Board of Directors, wherein the convention space issue in Ames was resurfaced. From my perspective, it is absolutely a necessary conversation. We either need to have the real conversation about what the needs are for flat space and convention space in Ames, or we need to change the direction of the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau and just recognize that we're going to have fewer hotel nights, fewer lost dollars, fewer things like that. We have gone from being the only game in town in terms of Iowa and the Midwest in the mid-70s when the entire Iowa State Center was built, to now being way over the last 10 years through gambling, primarily gambling dollars, convention spaces that far exceed what they're able to offer now in Ames have popped up all over the state and the region. So it's a conversation that needs to be had. It was a very productive meeting, and I would say the three of us can expect to hear more about it here in the coming months.
Good.
Anything else?
Nope.
Other reports? Anything? Public forum number two. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items not on today's agenda. Board may not take any action to those comments due to the open meetings law, but we may do so in the future. Is anybody who would like to address the board on any topic? Seeing no one moving, announcements from the supervisors. Wayne, anything else?
This Thursday and Friday, I, along with IT Director Barbara Steinbeck, will attend the National Association of Counties Cybersecurity Symposium in Omaha, Nebraska. They have just an outstanding agenda of noted folks talking about cybersecurity issues, critical information infrastructure needs that will protect us at the county level, what counties can do to enhance insurance capabilities, and several other topics that I think is going to be very helpful. And when I mentioned this to Barbara, she was just eager to join members of the ISAC COSTAR group here, because this is an area that, you know, she has brought to our attention that we need to really stay fully aware of the potential cyber threats and so forth, and different things that we can mitigate risk. So we're looking forward to having a wonderful conference, and I'm sure between the two of us we'll give you somewhat of a report as to some of the things that we pick up.
Thanks very much. Paul, anything?
Pass.
I will not be here next Tuesday, so Paul, I'll hand the gavel to you for next Tuesday's meeting.
Okay.
And see you all again the Tuesday after that. If there is nothing else, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
If you're adjourned.
Get that, Shelley.
Shell, these are the two that we pulled.